I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, represented by CBS News Radio. And Bob Zimmerman, the keeper of Behind the Black, is here from the surface of the planet Earth. We're going to the surface of planet Mars with a report from science theoreticians, science speculators, chemistry, that changes the game if proved accurate, changes the game about Mars colonies and about the sustainability of Mars for mankind. Bob, a very good evening to you. I think I put enough caveats in. It's theory, it's projection, it's not junk science, but it certainly is an antidote to those who say the water fled long ago through the atmosphere and will never get it back. Good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening, John. Yes, well, this was the only press conference they held this week at the Lunar Planetary Conference that was being held virtually. And, of course, the press has run with it like mad. And I posted on Behind the Black the story. But, of course, on Behind the Black, I outline all the caveats that you've already mentioned, but you missed a few. And so I'll get into those as well. But first, the hypothesis. The hypothesis is that Mars did not lose a large bulk of its water out the atmosphere, as has often been believed, but instead, over time, it got trapped chemically within the crust. And the theory, therefore, means that there is a lot of hydrated minerals in the soil and the deep crust of Mars, much more than previously believed. It means also that overall the planet didn't lose as much water from its atmosphere as previously believed. Now, some caveats here. One, the press releases and the talk and the general ignorance of the American modern journalist press gave the impression that Mars today has no water, but this tells us it might have water. And that's not really true. As I've outlined in great detail and Behind the Black over the last few years, the orbiters and the rovers have pretty much convinced us now, especially the orbiters, that there's a lot of water on Mars, a lot of very accessible water. We must be aware of that. All this means is that in the far past, a lot of the water that used to be there, that we find evidence of even in the very dry equatorial regions, didn't get lost in the atmosphere, but instead got trapped in the soil. Secondly, this is not usable water for colonists. This is water that's chemically trapped. To cook it out of the soil is going to take a lot of energy, and it would be much more efficient to use the ample, easily accessible ice that's all over the place. That's the second caveat. And of course, the third is that this is a model. It doesn't prove anything. It carries a lot of assumptions based on what is very limited knowledge about the planet Mars, and we shouldn't accept it at face value. Regardless, it's an important hypothesis and a model based on known facts, because it will help scientists, if true, reshape the geological history of Mars, and it might actually make it easier for them to solve the number one conundrum of Mars planetary science, which is there is plenty of evidence in the equatorial dry regions of Mars that lakes, liquid water, once existed there, but the climate, the atmosphere is too cold and too thin to have ever had liquid water on the surface. And no scientist has yet been able to come up with any kind of model that is accepted that could produce such a thing, a warm and thick atmosphere in the far past that would allow liquid water. And this might help them do that. And that's the bottom line, John.
Bob, I took this hypothesis and immediately started thinking about all those planets out there where we're going to say they're dry or they're frozen or they're reluctant in some fashion to sustain life. But if water can be stored in minerals, that's right, Bob. They're saying it's stored in.
Yeah, but we gotta really understand. This is like when they say we found an organic chemical, and my God, the press says, oh boy, they found life. And of course not. Organics just means there's carbon in the mineral. Coal is not alive. So this is the same thing. These are hydrated minerals. Bennu and Ryugu are hydrated asteroids. They have water as a chemical component of its carbon soot-like material. But that doesn't mean that water is easy to get. You don't get water from coal. You don't try to. You might get energy from coal burn, but you don't get water, even though there I'm not sure coal's a good example, but there are a lot of minerals on Earth that have lots of water in their chemical makeup. But to get the water out is not a practical thing. It's just not practical. So this does not change the equation about future planets. No. The key, you got to have the water reasonably accessible. And as a chemical trapped in a mineral, that does not mean you're going to have lots of water from it.
Mars quakes. The disappointment at InSight is being balanced out with new data, wonderful data. What is InSight, Bob, and what is it telling us?
Well, InSight's been on the Martian surface now for 2 Earth years and a full Martian year, which is 2 years long. And they've now been able to, they gave at this Lunar Planetary Conference a summary of the results from the seismometer that InSight placed on the surface. And over that Martian year, they detected about a little over 500 quakes. And since the report, they might have actually gotten a few more. And they've been able to localize most of those quakes. I've got a map on Behind the Black that they posted that shows where some of the larger ones were. And this is data they've already told us, but it's just interesting. We now have a much better idea that the quakes appear to mostly be in what I call volcano country on Mars, which is an area that is also where they think the youngest previous volcanic activity took place only a few million years ago. And so that volcanic activity is apparently still settling. The upset that the volcanoes and the lava flows caused is still settling, and you're getting these kind of small quakes. They were generally small quakes. The results also told us a lot about the crust, the mantle, and the core of Mars. These results are somewhat preliminary still because it's only one seismometer on the planet, and it provides you somewhat limited data. But it does tell us the crust is much thinner than believed, and it does prove that the core's outer layer is liquid, not solid. And that's important, too. So this is just, you know, data's coming down. They might not have a heat sensor in the ground, but they definitely have a working seismometer, and we're learning something about the interior of the planet, John.
The Man-Made Sounds of Mars. Bob has links to this. I recommend the long version, not just the short version, of Perseverance rolling and a microphone on Perseverance. I understand, Bob, that microphone originally did not succeed because it was meant to make a recording of Perseverance landing or coming down through the atmosphere. They now have a recording for Perseverance moving. What are we listening to, Bob?
Well, the microphone was put there to do many things, and they just simply didn't get the data during the landing. But it's still functioning. And so they've got it recording while Perseverance made its first move across the surface. And this is an engineering thing. There's science you can pull from this, but this is mostly engineering. Hearing the sounds can tell them a great deal about what it's like to move on the surface, and it can tell them a great deal about how the wheels are functioning and how the whole body of the rover is functioning. And yes, NASA released 2 versions. One's a short 90-second clip, and that's been processed. And then there's the longest 16-minute clip that has on it at one point a high-pitched scratching noise that they really don't know where it came from, and they're still trying to figure that out. They think it might have been electromagnetic interference from one of the electronic boxes on the spacecraft. This is the kind of engineering thing you want to hear because, gee, if something's screeching, you know, you got a brake that's screeching somewhere, you want to know about it. And I don't think that's the case here, but this is the kind of information they're going to pull from it, John. And yes, it's cool. It is, we're mostly hearing sound through the body of, I think, the rover because the atmosphere is so thin. You're not going to hear a lot unless they really enhance it from the air itself.
It does underline a detail, Bob. These are not rubber wheels. These are metal wheels on a rocky surface.
That's correct. I'm not sure what the metal is, but yes, in order to make them last as long as possible, these are metal wheels. And as I've noted on your show and on Behind the Black, these are an upgrade from the wheels on Curiosity, which turned out to be less robust than they had hoped. And so these wheels we expect to last much longer.
All right, images on the surface of Mars that Bob explicates for us. This time he's found scallops. Bob, do you know there's a cuisine theme in your search for the Martian surface?
Oh, there's a cuisine zine theme in almost any strange image I find. I mean, I once did an article for Astronomy describing asteroids as ice cream sundaes because of their makeup with chocolate chips in them. So this is scallops, and I've done posts on scallops on Mars before. It's a feature you find in the mid to high latitudes that is representative of the surface sublimating away because of an ice layer underneath. And this was just a good image of it. And it was a captioned image from the Mars science team. So they provided additional information. And I emailed Shane Byrne, the scientist who wrote the caption, just to get a little update. And so it's just a cool image because you can actually see the holes in the slope of the scallop where the ice is sublimating away to create the scallop in that image. And that's very, very cool. And so that's just another evidence of the ample accessible ice on the surface of Mars, just a little bit down below the soil.
Now about that water, the glaciers, Bob. You found a glacier that is evolving.
Yes, this is a picture that was posted that isn't captioned, but I pulled it out of the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter database, and it's just one of the many, 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 many pictures of glacier features in an area I called Glacier Country on Mars. It's in the 30 to 60 degree latitude band, but it's in an area at the dichotomy, the transition zone between the northern lowlands and the southern highlands, where there's a lot of these, a lot of mesas, a lot of canyons, and almost every picture that Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter takes of this region, you're going to see evidence of glacial features. And in this particular one was interesting because it has cracks in the glacier. And what I suppose, I guess, on my hypothesis is that the flow of the glacier, which isn't probably active now, but when the glacier was flowing for a period of time, the flow rate was faster than the deposition rate. In other words, the amount of snow being dropped on it was not as much as the flow rate. And so what happened is the glacier stretched. And so you get these cracks perpendicular along its line that you can see, holes and cracks. And then you get also cracks parallel to the flow, and those just simply get elongated along it. You can see this in the picture. It's very cool. When it was active, we don't know because we still don't have a lot of information, but it sure looks like we're looking at a glacier that was once active.
Are those portals inside the glacier, Bob?
Essentially.
Pieces?
You know, if you do any kind of hiking on a glacier, which is not something one should do nonchalantly, you're going to find crevasses, and holes. You got to be really careful. That's why they have poles. They check the ground in front of them, and that's essentially what you've got here. On Earth, you could rappel into these. This is really pushing. This is hard stuff, and risky. But so that's the same thing here. This is not a place, of course, you'd want to build a colony because it's unstable. But nonetheless, there it is.
But a lot of water too. Bob Zimmerman keeps the website Behind the Black. We've been exploring, so we're going space engineering when we come back. And first, of course, to SpaceX. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show.